KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 60 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today, a high of 76. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In local news, empty storefronts in downtown Atlantic are becoming so much of a concern for some city officials in Atlantic. A city administrator said if the matter isn't addressed quickly, it will become a serious problem. During his report to the council Wednesday evening, Administrator John Lund said he sat down Tuesday with Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Wita Weimer to discuss the problem. He said he intends to utilize local option sales tax or lost funds to conduct a downtown assessment for the purpose of economic development and a market analysis conducted by the Iowa Economic Development Authority.
We can be armed to have concrete, quantitative, and qualitative data so we can actually really get stuff done.
Lund said the study would include public surveys to identify areas of need as far as businesses and services are concerned.
There'll be a lot of surveys of all downtown business owners, and then there'll also be consumer surveys trying to identify what there really is a demand for, where we may have leakage, things of that nature.
Mayor Dave Jones said the city paid a good deal of money, about $40,000, in fact, about 15 years ago, to have a similar study conducted through what at that time was the recently established Community Promotion Commission. He suggested the chamber go back through those results and see if some of the goals and needs have been fulfilled before spending more money for another study. Jones said the city itself shouldn't have to be involved in the role of business recruitment, since it has a Chamber of Commerce whose purpose is to promote and recruit new businesses, as well as retain current establishments. He said there seems to be some confusion and finger-pointing as to which entity is responsible for recruiting new retail businesses, the Chamber or Cass Atlantic Development Corporation, CADCO.
Somebody needs to tackle that bullet. And my personal opinion is downtown Chamber, CADCO, the county-wide organization, Chamber is a Atlantic organization. I know they say they're a county thing, but it's an Atlantic-based supported organization. They should be more attacking that, to me, a retail area. So, I mean, I don't feel the city should be going after the study. The chamber should come up and say, what are the study? And it's going to come out of CPC anyway.
Councilman Bob Cord said CADCO shouldn't be excluded from the recruitment process, and Jones agreed, but he said they tend to focus more on bringing industry to communities in the county, not so much retail. Jones says even if CADCO managed to bring in a new business with the potential for 250 new jobs, the question remains, where would the employees come from? Because Atlantic has a relatively low unemployment rate.
Right now, and I don't think it's any secret, if CADCO would bring in a new plant for 250 jobs, where'd it get the help at? Everybody says, we want this thing coming in, but right now we're working on, a 3% unemployment rate. And that, in the best case example, says 2.5% of that unemployment are not going to work the past 2 weeks at a time anyway. But they're drawing off a very low pool of qualified people. We got to figure out how to get people come in town, come and get some mid-range housing to come in, stuff in that area, and rehab some of our houses, get these people coming in.
The Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening gave the go-ahead to Fire Chief Mark McNeese to begin the process of training three department personnel plus himself for fire extinguisher inspections and servicing. Their approval means McNeese can also purchase the necessary equipment to service commercial and public fire extinguishers. Some of those pieces of equipment will come from a local man who is no longer in the business.
You know, we have the facilities, we have the people, and it's right up our alley.
And McNeese said that there is a big demand right now for local fire extinguisher and inspection service, since no one in or near Atlantic provides that service.
This will fill local need for inspections, and they are piled up. We have a large list of people that need it done right now and want us to do it. They've been waiting, and this will be for locals. This will provide the department an opportunity to better educate the public and to protect the businesses and the public as well.
The total cost of the upstart service is estimated at $5,000 to $6,000, which includes the necessary equipment, parts, supplies, and training. McNeese proposed paying for the program through the Fire Trust and Agency account, which was donated for projects above and beyond equipment. Those funds would then be replaced by billing customers for the service and inspections, just like a commercial business would do.
I would propose, and as Harlan does, that I would handle the billing to the customers, saving Deb. This is going to be more than what little billing we do now. And we collect the receipts, which then we would turn over to the city so that she could document them and put them in the proper accounts. I mean, they have to all go into the city budget, but then we'd have a double layer of my records and her records on what's going into the TNA, how much business we're actually doing, and receipts coming in.
The service itself would fall under the jurisdiction of the state fire marshal's office.
I don't want to be in competition with private business. I don't think that is, our goal here, but somebody private can still come in. anybody in town still can go with the nearest ones, which the nearest one, actually, there's a gentleman in Red Oak that does. Otherwise, you're looking at Carroll, Omaha. So it's going to give them a local option to have it done here, support the city and fire department if they so choose.
Elsewhere in the news, the Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday approved a recommendation by County Attorney David Wiederstein to appoint his law firm partner John Otto as assistant county attorney, retroactive to October 1st. Otto will assume the job left vacant by the resignation early last August of Jamie Arnold.
He'll cover for me when I'm going to be gone, and I'm already finding days on my calendar where he can fill in. And
what do you plan on him do, Dave?
I would say covering for me on Wednesdays for juvenile court, not all the time. There's going to be Monday morning motion days where I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be committed elsewhere where he can fill in for me. So there will be work for him to do.
Otto will be paid a total of $2,037 for the 18 pay periods that runs through the end of the fiscal year. That's the remainder of the $40,000 set aside for the position of assistant county attorney during the current fiscal year. In other business, the Cass County supervisors received a collective bargaining proposal from the union representing the county's sheriff's deputies and jailers. The supervisors will review the proposal and present their own during a meeting next week. And Cass County engineer Charles Marker reported to the board the status of some area bridge projects. Marker said work on the Griswold Golf Course Bridge, number 83, remains on schedule, with a meeting pertaining to the concrete bridge deck pouring tentatively set to take place next week. They hope to begin pouring the deck on October 15th, weather permitting.
The next thing that we're kind of concerned about, and the reason we were looking for a November completion, would be the asphalt approaches. The wedge that has to be built to meet the old roadway and bring it up to the level of the new bridge deck. So we're still looking at that to be in the middle of November sometime. So that bridge is currently on schedule and moving well along.
Marker says the landfill road bridge, number 292, is currently stalled out while supplies are on back order for that project.
They have the deck already poured on it. We're having a little bit of a delay right now because apparently there's a shortage of steel and they are not able to get their culvert pipes. They were not able to get the culvert pipes, which would go in the side ditches alongside the bridge. If they don't get them this week, they're the same size as what we've got in stock. So we're saying we'll supply you with that culvert pipe so you can go ahead and get the project rolling and just replenish our stock.
Andy says guardrails still need to be installed and asphalt wedge approaches laid. They're still targeting the middle of November for completion of that project. And Marker said work on bridge number 247 south of Anita will begin next week and should be completed much quicker because it uses steel and the supplies are ready to go. A corrugated deck will be covered with gravel once the decking is in place. And he said they're also having some trouble obtaining road rock with the closing of one quarry and long wait periods for the Stennett Quarry in Montgomery County, which is used by several other counties as well. Elsewhere in the news, three people were arrested early this morning on drug charges in Creston. According to the police department, 19-year-old Jacob Roach of Lamoni, 18-year-old Chet Clark of Lorimore, and 19-year-old Benjamin Seville of Delphos were taken into custody at around 2:35 a.m. at 1501 West Townline Road. The trio were each charged with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana. They were brought to the Union County Jail and held on $1,000 bond each. And at around 7:45 p.m. Wednesday, Creston police arrested 36-year-old Jason Ford of Creston on a Department of Corrections warrant for probation violation. Ford was being held at the Union County Jail awaiting a bond hearing. Creston police report also a business was broken into sometime between 11 a.m. Tuesday and 7 a.m. Wednesday. The person or persons responsible forced their way into the Can Place at 202 Russell Street by kicking in a door. A cash register with money inside was stolen. The loss was estimated at $320. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.